against will and testament. Show me and the world you'll love me. Know me as the Lamb of God. Do this in remembrance of me. Eat this body, drink this blood.
Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. In this Lenten season, we have heard again how our Lord walked the path of suffering, which led him to the cross for our salvation. We have also heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that keeps us from loving God and one another. This is the struggle to which we were committed at baptism. God's forgiveness and the power of His Spirit to amend our lives continue with us because of His love for us in Jesus our Savior. Within the family of the church, God never wearies of giving peace and new life. In the absolution, we receive forgiveness as from God Himself. This absolution, we should not doubt, but firmly believe that our sins are thus forgiven before God in heaven, for it comes to us in the name and by the command of our Lord. We who receive God's love in Jesus Christ are called to love one another, to be servants to each other, as Jesus became our servant. In Holy Communion, the members of Christ's body participate most intimately in His love. Remembering our Lord's Last Supper with His disciples, we eat the bread and drink the cup of this meal. Together we receive the Lord's gift of His body and blood for forgiveness and participate in that new covenant that makes us one with Him and one another. The Lord's Supper is the promise of the great banquet we will share with all the faithful when our Lord returns, the joyous culmination of our reconciliation with God and each other. Let us confess our sins to God and ask Him for forgiveness.
Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved You with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve Your punishment,
both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his holy life and innocent death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life into death as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us and reconciled us to God and has promised us the power to forgive and to love each other. Relying on his promise, therefore, be reconciled with one another. Brothers and sisters, may the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, in our words, and in our actions. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in the sacrament of Holy Communion, you give us your true body and blood as a remembrance of your suffering and death on the cross. Grant us so firmly to believe your words and promise that we may always partake of this sacrament to our eternal good. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
The first lesson is recorded in Exodus chapter 12. This lesson is the history and background for the supper that Jesus was eating with his disciples on the night he was betrayed. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is still left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." This is the word of the Lord.
The second lesson is recorded in Hebrews chapter 10. This lesson will be the basis for my sermon tonight.
The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this evening is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 22. This lesson is the historical account of Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper and giving it to his church. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you."
This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day. In the name of him who says to you, "Take and eat, take and drink, for your eternal comfort," in the name of Jesus. We've been having a lot of meals lately. We have meals when we have work to do that makes it more convenient. We have meals when we have a voters' meeting. It makes that more convenient too. We have meals when it's time to worship on Wednesday evenings. It makes it more convenient. But isn't there something to eating together, to enjoying time together, spending time together, especially with your church family? As much as you love everybody else in your life, there's something to eating with your church family. There's also something to getting those meals ready and to serving them. Because it's not just something that you got to do. It's not just a job that has to get done. Serving and preparing and cleaning up after these meals are acts of service and acts of love to a God who first loved you. They're acts of love to your brothers and sisters. You make their evening a little bit better. You make coming to worship a little bit easier. You do it because you love Jesus, because he loved you first. You love your brothers and sisters. You enjoy spending time in fellowship with them. This evening is all about a special meal that Jesus prepares. And unlike this meal, yes, it was practical. They had to eat. And yes, it was commanded that they eat this meal according to the first lesson that we read. They had to have this meal. But it was more than that. This was Jesus' opportunity to love and to serve them, to love and to serve us. It's Maundy Thursday. It comes from a Latin word which means a command. Jesus said on this night, "A new command I give you. Love one another." And he showed his love for his disciples by all things, washing their feet, serving them, and then by suffering for them and dying for them. He showed them the full extent of his love on that Thursday and on that Friday. So it should not surprise us that this meal exudes love. It exudes the love of the Savior. It exudes the love that he has for you. It exudes the love that we have for one another. It exudes the love that we get to live in our lives. I want to talk about the meal that Jesus has prepared for you and for me tonight. Because it is love that sets the table. It's love that invites to the table. It's love that is served at the table. And it's love that leaves from the table. Jesus mentioned the word covenant in the gospel. It was in the Old Testament lesson 2. The word shows up in Hebrews chapter 10. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." You know, usually in a covenant, there's two sides, there's two things going on. Whether they were cutting animals open and walking between them, exchanging sandals, doing different handshakes, they would make a deal. They promised each other, "I'll do this and you'll do that," and they came to an agreement. Did you happen to catch what Jesus demanded of his disciples on this night? Or what the writer to the Hebrews said God expects of you when you commune, when you come to this meal? It's okay if you didn't catch it tonight, because there is nothing. This is a one-way agreement, a one-way deal, a one-way promise Jesus makes to you and to me. He promises to love you, and he promises to forgive you. "I will make this covenant with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." Can you imagine if Jesus' disciples had to live up to their end of some bargain on this night? I mean, talk about being set up for failure. You probably know the history. You probably know how quickly Peter ran away, how everybody else ran away from Jesus in the garden. How quickly Peter swore up and down, cursed himself, cursed everyone, cursed everything. I don't even know the guy. Peter would have blown it later that night, if not on Friday. You think of all the rest of the disciples who left Jesus alone. But it wasn't up to them to keep their end of the deal. This was a table, this was a meal that Jesus set with his love for them. And he said, "I am going to do the doing. I am going to do the giving. I am going to do the loving. I am going to do the forgiving."
I will remember their sins no more. And it's interesting what Jesus set on the table. Can you imagine if you show up to Grandma's house on Easter Sunday morning, and Grandma says, "Yo, come on over, I got everything set." And then you show up there with your family and there's nothing on the table. You know, "Grandma, are you feeling okay? Is everything okay, Grandma? Did you forget something?" And then maybe you're after there for a little bit, you start saying, "Okay, Grandma, come on, joke's over. We're all hungry." But in a way, isn't that what Jesus did for his disciples and for you and for me when he sets this table for us? We see some bread, we see some wine, but Jesus said, "I have set love on this table for you. I have set my body that I sacrificed on a cross for you on this table. I have placed my blood, which I shed for you on the cross, and I place that on this table for you. And I have placed the peace of forgiveness on this table. I have placed confidence in your relationship with me on this table. I have placed unity and peace on this table for you." It's kind of brilliant, isn't it, that Jesus took something that we need every day. We need to eat and we need to drink. And it's kind of neat that Jesus took something that you can taste and you can smell, something that you can see, you can hear when it's being poured, something that brings people together, because who doesn't like eating together with family and friends? And he attaches a spiritual blessing and promise to it, because he knows this would not only touch your head, but this will also touch your heart. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." God has set love on this table for you this evening. You know, I think it would be interesting if you were to get an invitation from a childhood acquaintance, and he wants you to come on over to his house for dinner. And you haven't talked to this guy for a long time, but you remember this kid as being kind of a mean and nasty kid. And you probably remember doing mean and nasty things back to him, and it just wasn't a good relationship at all. And now, out of the blue, he wants you to come over for dinner. Or maybe it's the opposing team. I mean, you just got done laying the schmack on these people. You wiped them out, and it was not a friendly game. And there were mean and hurtful things said on the court before and after the game. And they say, "Hey, why don't you come out for dinner with us after the game?" Or maybe it's a very powerful military leader. Horrible, atrocious war crimes. And he wants Mr. Obama to come over for dinner. Don't you think you would have some questions? You know, what's your angle? What do you want? What are you really up for that you want me over at your house? Or maybe think about it the other way around. What if someone, if you invite someone to your house, and it's that same mean, nasty kid, and it brings up all these horrible memories, do you really want that person anywhere near you? Or maybe it's the kids from the other team, you don't really care for them. You could never see them again, and you'd be perfectly happy. Would you really want them over at your house for dinner? Or the man that you know has a lot of blood on his hands because he kills people just because of who they are and where they live or what they believe? Isn't it just as striking that God wants anything to do with us? And he says, "I don't want you to have any questions. I don't want you to worry. There are no strings attached. I have prepared everything for you." And you say, "Really? God doesn't want anything for me?" And you think, why would God pick you? Probably for the same reason he picked Peter. Even though he knew Peter was going to deny him, Peter was going to run away from him, Peter was going to cause all kinds of problems, Jesus wanted Peter at that table. And you think of Matthew, the lying, cheating thief of a tax collector. Jesus set a table for him and invited him to the table. And later on, he would instruct St. Paul. St. Paul, who said he made a living and he rather enjoyed killing and persecuting Christians. But Jesus went right to Paul and said, Paul, here's what I did on that night, and I want you to be at my table. There are no strings attached. Jesus does not want anything from you. He sets a table out of love, and he prepares love, and he serves love at his table. The writer to the Hebrews says in verse 18, where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. He tells you to come to his table because he loves you, and he has prepared everything for you. He uses some pretty interesting words before earlier in the lesson, doesn't he? Where he talks about sins and lawless acts. And maybe you've had one of those moments where one of those sins really haunts you, or one of those lawless acts that just won't get out of your mind, it won't get out of your heart. And you think, how could I ever have done that? How can I ever bring that to the Lord's table? How could I ever look at Jesus? How could I ever face the pastor and take Jesus' sacrifice that he prepared for me? Because Jesus sets love for you at the table. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sins. Jesus sacrificed himself for your sins. There used to be some strings attached before you could go to the temple. There used to be some strings attached before you could go into the holy place. Only one guy once a year. And it was after he went through all these purification rituals. Only then did he dare see what was behind the curtain. Jesus has cut all the strings. Jesus has opened the very throne room of God for you. And at this meal tonight, he is going to take you by the hand and march you right to the very throne room of God. And he is going to tell you, you belong here because I paid for your sins. I gave my body to purify yours. I gave my blood to wash away all your sins. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sins. Love invites you to the table this evening. And love assures you that your sins are forgiven and that you belong at this table this evening. You know, it makes you feel pretty good, doesn't it, when somebody goes out of their way to prepare something for you? Or maybe it's that somebody has something on hand for you because they know that it's your favorite. And so you're invited over to their house, and they say, hey, would you like this? And it happens to be your favorite drink. And they probably get more pleasure and satisfaction out of the drink just watching you drink it and knowing that it's your favorite than you do out of drinking it. And then it makes you feel good because you know they went out of your way to have that drink there just because you enjoy that. It makes you feel pretty good. Or if you're at Easter Sunday breakfast and grandma tells you, hey, you know, I prepared this one thing for you because I know it's your favorite. And I made it just the way that you like it. And you know that she went out of her way. She could have shopped for anyone, 20, 30 people over at her house, but she went to the store and she got these things for you, and she took the time to prepare them just for you, and as she's serving it, she whispers, I made this just for you. That's how you know Grandma loves you. She knows you. She noticed you. She did something for you. Jesus has done that very thing for you and for me tonight, because he knows that you need this. And so he has prepared it just for you. He died on the cross to give it for you. He suffered on the cross and poured out his blood so that you could have it tonight. So that you know you matter to your Savior. You know your Savior loves you. You know you belong at that table. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Love leaves the table this evening. It's a love that we have received from Jesus, and then it's a love that we get to live in our lives. It's a love that doesn't just say, now go and do this, or you can't come back. It's a love that says, now go and do this because I love you.
Go and do this because this is going to strengthen you. Go and do this because this is going to make you faithful. This is going to enable you to hold unswervingly to the faith that we just professed by coming up to the table. Do you like how not even that is up to you? It's not up to you to work yourself up. I'm going to go live for Jesus today. It's not up to you to say, I'm going to go leave this sin. I'm going to leave this lawless act behind. It's up to Jesus to do that. And he promises to do that. Promises to make you faithful. Faithful enough to say that, boy, even though I like this, even though this makes me happy, even though this brings me pleasure, even though this makes life good, I'm going to give it up because of the strength and faithfulness that Jesus shares with me. That confidence comes from him. That kind of love leaves his table. And there's also a love that you have for one another, especially your brothers and sisters here. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Getting each other here. Not giving up meeting together. Going out to your brothers and sisters who, for whatever reason, maybe their faith isn't so strong right now. Maybe they've let their faith get weak. Maybe they have some issue with coming to church. Maybe there's something that's keeping them. Love leaves this table and goes out and finds your brothers and sisters who need to be at the table. Not because you are at some higher place than they are, not because you are better than they are, but because you love them. And you know that the Holy Spirit is going to work through your invitation. You know that the Holy Spirit is going to work through what they receive here. You know that the Holy Spirit is going to work in their hearts and in their lives when you get them to the Lord's table. Love has prepared everything for us this evening. There's nothing for you to do. Jesus has set the table for you. Jesus has invited you to the table. Jesus promises to strengthen you when you leave the table. May God bless your time at his table this evening. Amen. Please stand. The confession of faith this evening is on page 9 in the worship booklet. It is from the explanation of Holy Communion from Martin Luther's Small Catechism. What is the sacrament of Holy Communion? What blessing do we receive through this eating and drinking?
As shown us by these words, given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Through these words, we receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation in the sacrament. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation.
How can eating and drinking do such great things? Who then is properly prepared to receive this sacrament? Please be seated as we gather our offerings.
Your prayers this evening have been requested by our sister Laura Turner, whose brother David passed away yesterday very unexpectedly. We'll ask that God would be with Laura and her family. We've also been asked to remember Daniel Joseph in our prayers. He is experiencing shoulder pain, and that is hurting him as he pursues, in addition to academics, he also plays volleyball at his college, and so he's in a lot of pain. And we've been asked that God would be with Daniel at this time as well. The prayer of the church this evening is the responsive prayer on page 10 in the worship booklet. Lord Jesus, you are the Lamb of God, pictured in the ancient Passover feast, now giving your own body and pouring out your own blood in Holy Communion. The Passover lamb assured the Israelites of your Father's promise to deliver them from death. Prepare us to receive this sacrament, remembering your death and repenting of our sins. We rejoice in our fellow believers who have been instructed in your word and confirmed in the Lutheran faith, who are properly prepared to receive Holy Communion. We pray for those absent from the sacrament because of their own neglect. Dear Lord of love, by the sudden death of David Lancomer, you have reminded us once more that there is only a step between us and death. How thankful we are that you control that step. We ask that you would calm the troubled hearts of all who are mourning the loss of David. We ask that you would help them to confidently cling to your promise that in all things you are working for their good. We thank you for making David your own dear child through faith in Jesus. And we thank you for taking him to be with you in his and our eternal kingdom in heaven. Give to his family the strength in their weakness and courage to face the difficult days that might lie ahead. Guide them as they journey through life, and finally reunite them all at last before your glorious throne in heaven. We ask that you hear us for your Son, our Savior Jesus' sake. Amen. We also come to you this evening on behalf of Daniel Joseph. We thank you for the many wonderful blessings that we have of not only body, but also of soul. We thank you for the way that you have fearfully and wonderfully made our bodies. When they hurt and when they ache, we are reminded of sin and sinfulness in our lives and in the world around us that causes pain. We ask that you help to keep Daniel strong in his faith, that he would not be discouraged, give him the patience to heal. If it is your will, we ask that you bless the doctors and trainers, everyone who will look after him, to alleviate his pain and to restore the strength in his shoulder. We ask that you hear us as we come to you on behalf of him. Keep in your care those unable to receive the sacrament often because they are homebound, hospitalized, imprisoned, serving in the military, or otherwise separated from the fellowship of believers. Encourage them so that they do not lose hope. Please stand as we make our preparations to receive the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who brought the gift of salvation to all people by his death on the tree of the cross, so that the devil, who overcame us by a tree, would in turn by a tree be overcome. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O Lord, because you have brought us from death to life. With humble and repentant hearts, we praise and thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who became our substitute under your holy law, who destroyed the works of the devil by his perfect obedience to your will, who willingly carried a cross to pay the debt of the world's sin, who lives and reigns to give us life. Through his body and blood, once given and poured out for us, forgive our sins and strengthen us for our journey heavenward. Unite us to our crucified and risen Lord, that we may believe in him, confess him, call on his name, and finally be delivered from this world to the feast of the Lamb, whose kingdom has no end.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Our worship continues on page 14 with the Song of Simeon. Please stand.
For my heart.
O God the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness, you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for our next hymn, number 317.
soul is full of trouble, and my life draws near the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like a man without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who are dead rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave? Your faithfulness in destruction. Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken my companions and loved ones from me. The darkness is my closest friend.